Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This is ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. Or actually, we're also sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And so we just got back from Red Pill Expo. But before we get into that, let me kind of go through the obligatories. You know, we have a comment line, 425-270-5416. And I need to get back because there's a couple of people that actually called in. So I've been on travel. I have not been able to engage in anything other than, well, it's not easy traveling with an air tube and having to make sure you got your air compressor, because I've been on a tether and I swore to death I was going to break my portable machine because I'm just not used to having something like this. But anywho, it was great. I met a lot of great people. You missed something big, and we're going to get into that. But we also want to start talking about getting you active and involved. We need people to start reaching out to the NLA and reaching out to the We the People Foundation so that we can start getting petitions. We need to start using you. Every U.S. citizen needs to start exercising their right. I mean, if you're okay with losing your liberty, then don't do anything. You're listening to the wrong show, because we're going to only talk about what it takes to save our Constitution and your liberties. Now, there's all sorts of things that we can't talk about. We're going to get into some marketing, by the way. But what we want to do is we're here to help, and we're not from the government, and we want to give you the information you need so that you can actually contribute. This is not, you know, a couple of people or an organization problem. This is a republic problem. This is everybody's problem. This is why, you know, I'm going to be very harsh on organizations that refuse to unite, refuse to put aside their differences, or I should say their self-interest technically. Because bottom line, there are way too many organizations that are self-focused. I mean, they're not going to work with other people and start helping in getting our public servants in line with the Constitution. Bottom line, we all need to be seeking constitutional compliance at all levels. And the focus has to be at the state legislatures. As I've said, as we went through the ratification debates, it was very clear the state legislators have that responsibility. They're duty bound to protect us from federal tyranny. So what does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? That means we have to get them educated. So we need you to get involved. And some of the things you can easily do is you can fill out petitions, and you can petition your county commissioners and your sheriff. Again, we'll go into those types of details, but this is all about reclaiming the Republic. I know that there are great entertainers that are going to talk about the news. The news cycle has nothing to do with saving your liberty. Understanding how many terrible and evil things that are going on in the world is not going to save your liberties. The only thing that's going to save your liberties is you. The only thing that's going to save our state, our republic, is all of us pulling together. So it's not just you. You need to get other people involved. You need to start grabbing people by the neck and pulling them into this thing. Excuse me. So anyway, what we ask that you do is you bring people to the table. Bring people to the show so that they can understand that there's actually a place where we're going to be talking. Eventually, I've reached out to the NLA and I've reached out to the Constitution Party, and I'll reach out to any other organization that gets on board and unites in trying and in working with us in educating either at the grassroots level or at the state level, at the public servant level. I mean, that's exactly what I was doing And that's what I've been doing. I've been reaching out to legislatures, basically educating them and getting them engaged and involved and so forth and so on. We go through marketing. We're going to do some marketing. And the whole intent of marketing is basically, what is it going to take? How bad does it have to get you involved? If you think Trump is going to get in office again and he's going to dismantle the Leviathan, he didn't in this first 4 years. Didn't even come close. As a matter of fact, he ran up debt. We have to stop them from spending money. They have no constitutional standing on spending money. If it's not an enumerated power, they can't do it. We just read that in the Virginia ratification debates. That's what George Nicholas said. If it's not enumerated, they can't meddle with it. That's his words specifically. So what are we going to do? Well, we today are going to kind of do a recap on what we did at the Red Pill Expo. So let me go ahead and get started. But again, as I've mentioned this before, we need to focus on who the enemy is and why everybody needs to be involved. This is not going to be a minority revolution. We really need people to take a stand. And you know what? People, you're actually seeing people that are Democrats, because you're seeing in the news, you're already hearing these things in the news, that there are moderates and Democrats, people that aren't hardcore constitutionalists, but they just know that this critical race theory and some of the crap that they're teaching in school is just wrong. And they're taking a stand against that one problem. But my friends, we can't just leave it to one evil branch. As Thoreau says, thousands strike at the branches of evil, but only one strikes at the branch or at the root. And Republic Review is the root, or constitutional compliance is the root of the problem. Not this race, critical race theory, not Common Core, not these other things that they've been feeding us. If you think critical race theory is bad, guess what they're bringing out next? The next thing around the corner is even going to be worse. Come on. I mean, look over the past 30 years as the education system has completely gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. Our kids are not learning what they need to know, and they're not learning how to think. They're being told what to do. And this is why we have idiots like that Hobbs kid in Florida that wants to become a communist activist. These kids have no clue what they're doing. And they have no clue with the consequences of their actions, period. It's really that simple. So just remember who we're fighting. We're fighting Satan. He is the planner. He is the guy that is basically directing his generals, and the generals are directing the field officers all the way down to the privates. And we are marching to a very specific plan. So when I say we are marching to their very specific plan, that's those who are doing the work. We have to counter that. We have to get organized. They are organized. They are very organized. We have to get organized by uniting. If you're a part of an organization, you need to get involved. And there's plenty of work. As a matter of fact, well, I'll get into it when we get there. But let me just kind of get you to understand what we're doing, and what we need to do is unite. I just want to close and focus on that one issue. And thank you for listening. Thank you for hanging in there. I think you might have known that I was gone, but we were able to play some really good old interviews, older interviews, not really old. But I'm hoping you understand the importance of common law, as we just broadcasted that last week. Anyway, let me just kind of get into the Red Pill Expo. So we got out to Red Pill on Friday. We got kind of things set up. And on Saturday, there were all of these different speakers, and I'm not going to talk about the speakers, but for the most part, I mean, there was lots of people, and I was kind of hidden because I didn't get any signage. I don't have, you know, banners, didn't have a table or anything else, but there were a lot of people there. And unfortunately, the message is not getting out the way we want to, but things are changing. One of the things we were actually able to do at Red Pill Expo was we had a special meeting with state legislatures and public officials. And so, but we did that on Sunday. So on Saturday, we were reaching out and making sure that any public servants or elected officials, especially state legislators, were, if they were there, to please attend the 1 o'clock meeting. And so we had a meeting over at the Holiday Inn. And unfortunately, Tony Randolph was not able to stay. He had some problems he had to do with, because he's involved in the ministry of his church. And that's very common. It's very common for, even back in those days, it was very common. And I'm hoping that, I think that we start shifting the priorities, because we really need to make becoming the Thomas Jeffersons, the Madisons out of our public servants. We need them to take the same kind of seriousness and setting the same kind of priorities. And we need to get involved in this too. So, oh, by the way, as I've said this before, if you've got a rhino that is representing you at any level, why are you not getting involved and running? So we want to help you. If you want to run and primary somebody out, let us know. We are going to talk about some of the bills and administrations, but it was kind of interesting right there at Red Pill Expo. It was unseasonably hot. I mean, it was like 100 degrees going out there. And so it was kind of miserable, but when you're engaged with all of these good people, it was just like you completely forget about the weather and the conditions until all of a sudden they're gone and you're thinking about, oh, wow, I'm sweating. Anyway, we'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so one of the things that people were wondering is, why wasn't I not speaking? Because almost everybody that came up and talked to me, they were going, wow, this, I've never heard of this. This is such, I'd hate to say great plan and all the nice things that they say, because it makes it sound like I'm bragging. And so I'm having difficulty in trying to come up with those words. But bottom line, everybody agreed that this message needs to go viral, and they wanted to know why I was not up talking about it. And I had to explain. I just had surgery, and I was unable to you know, commit to, because I had no idea what my recovery was going to be like. Literally, I had surgery like 2 months ago and had no idea, but I wasn't even planning on having, you know, this lung problem. And so, I mean, I wasn't just standing there with this, you know, air tube with people thinking, oh, well, yeah, you look okay. I mean, not that I look bad or like I'm look, you know, drained or anything, but bottom line, one of the things, let me go down this tangent. One part of Red Pill Expo isn't just about politics and government and liberty. A good part of it is about health. There were lots of health booths there. And I'm not going to say anything disrespectful, but it was kind of like, you know, the old, what do you call those, snake lotion salesman or what have you. I mean, there were lots of people there selling their wares of how you could live vibrant and healthy and have all of your energy. And again, I don't want to be disparaging, but almost every single one of them kind of came up to me and goes, hey, what's going on? Maybe we can help you. And anyway, because many of those who are in the health, fitness, and those types of products and businesses, you know, they all point their finger at pharma and the medical association of doctors and say, you know, they're the problem. Well, science is science. And I do believe that we have the empirical data, because a lot of people said, well, you know, you should be taking this or you should be doing that. And I go, well, look, I do know that antibiotics actually do work. They actually do kill a bacteria, which is the primary problem with my lungs. And so thank you, but I'm not going to stop taking antibiotics. I'm not going to stop the path I'm on, because these medicines have been around a long time and they're proven to actually take care of these things. And so it's, you know, not as, I don't need to go down, you know, because this isn't like cancer. And I do understand that there's a lot of money involved in cancer, but there are lots of homeopathic processes and or applications and or products that you can use to, you know, help you fight cancer. And some people even say will cure cancer. Now, one of the things, I do have to share this, one of the things that was explained to me that actually made a lot of sense, and there's definitely science in it, but it wasn't something that would be a direct impact on my current situation. And apparently, there is a machine that you can buy. There's different degrees of these machines, but there's a machine that you can buy that what it does is it compresses water to the molecules of water to a smaller size. And I mean, a significant compression, that you run this water through this system and it literally, through electronics or what have you, that go through these plates. And I don't understand the process. I can't even tell you the product, but it sounds very interesting, because by reducing water to a minuscule size, it's able to penetrate cells better. And so one of the reasons why, as you get older, everybody, as we get older, over the past, how many couple of years, you've heard me have it to clear my throat all the time. Come to find out, that's the lungs. Anyway, so when you get older, your body is a sponge and it happens to cling on to toxic materials and other things that, you know, fat and those types of things that get stored in your body. And so even if you're perfect, you're almost anorexic, you still have heavy metals and things that just actually start filling up your body. And so water is the best purifier. It's the best cleaner. It's the, you know, it creates canyons because it gets rid of things. That's why rivers will cut right through earth and so forth. Water is a great cleaner. And so anyway, what we were looking at, or what I was being explained to, is these things permeate into the cells and actually help break down these heavy metals and these other types of toxins or carcinogens that your body's holding in your fat cells or what have you. And it actually helps you purge your body. And so, and you can't just go to the extreme. Apparently, when you start consuming this, you kind of have to build a, and I'll call it a tolerance. Your body has to get used to consuming this compressed water. So anyway, as you go through this, it actually starts cleansing and purging. And I go, wow, that sounds really interesting, because if you've never heard, and you probably have, you've probably seen these things you can put on your feet or what have you that helps, you know, cleanse your body somewhat. But that's only, you know, local to that end. It doesn't get all through your body, where water will actually work all the way through your body. So anyway, I'm definitely going to look into that, because as all of the advice and as all the people that came down and sat down, unfortunately, they kind of leached into my time, but I was trying to be mindful. If there was somebody that wanted or had any questions with what I was doing, then I'd say, hey, let me talk to this person and shoo them away, kind of thing. But anywho, it was very interesting that when people see, you know, you got this medical air tube, that they want to help. And I appreciate that. One of the things that I know I overextended myself, because I had some edema, or I should say some swelling in the legs that kind of came back, and some pain that came back, just because I was traveling, standing, walking, and probably doing more than I probably should have this soon after surgery. But anywho, there were lots of people there, and you're kind of working with a lot of good people. There was less need to not trust people than, you know, just out in a community or what have you, where, you know, there's plenty of places, and you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. When you get into certain environments, there's there's a high level of distrust, because people will steal, people will do things. I mean, shoot, look at the news. I know you're being inundated with the violence and the rise of violence and everything else. So we're going to get into all of that in marketing as we move forward, probably for the next week or so. As I also told you last week, I'm starting some new medication this week, and this is what's really kind of driving me to getting into having other people start working on providing, you know, so I'm going to get other people to start helping on the show. And instead of helping, I want them to come and talk about what they're doing in their state, how many people they've got, where they need people, so that you can start hearing. And eventually, what I want to have is I want to have all 50 states represented at some level for the NLA and for the Constitution Party. Because I want you to know who you can call. I want you to know where you can go. And if I don't provide you that information, and so the other thing is as we start hearing from Pennsylvania the things that they're doing, wow, why didn't we think of that if you're already involved and engaged over here doing something? If you hear something that they tried that didn't work, you go, oh, wow, yeah, we were thinking about doing that. I'm glad we haven't done that yet. So this is how we cross-pollinate. This is how we work together in sharing ideas and identifying and improving processes and innovating in how we can grow organizationally at the county level to start moving at the grassroots. Now, again, I want you to look at this way. The NLA is really a grassroots organization. The Constitution Party is really a grassroots. So is the Republican Party. And if you're in a good red state, I would say let's try to get the Republican Party on board and create a marriage between the Republican Party and Constitution Party. And what I mean by that is that what we want to do is we want to actually start getting people moving, because the Republican Party right now, most people are starting to realize it is the problem. And even though at the state level, the Republican Party is still a good in some states, Wyoming. Let's just speak about Wyoming. Wyoming is a rock solid constitutional party. But if they were trying to influence the RNC, the national level, then the national level would probably, if it got out of hand, they would probably put their foot down and say, you can't do that anymore. You're a Republican, and we own that trademark. You may own that for the state, but you are under us, and you have to do things our way. Because that's why having control over your brand is important. Eventually, they will, you know, pull, or they will, you know, flex their muscle. That's the best way to say it. The Republican National Committee will probably flex their muscle and tell states, either you tout our line, you're not moving us. Because, see, what they're going to see is, as the Republican parties become constitutional down at the state level, they're going to realize that by the input in the platform that everybody's going to want to move towards the Constitution, the RNC is going to say, you ain't going that way. And this is when they start flexing their muscle. And this is when they actually either start shutting down or invoking and getting people down into doing dirty deeds. They will be the problem. We'll be right back after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so anyway, as we move forward, we want to have this show, as I was trying to say, we want to have this show bring in different organizations that are uniting. So the We the People Foundation, we're going to try to have them come in and give you pointers and send you to the education that you need on what it takes to start filling out petitions, because you have a constitutional right to petition government for the redress of grievances. And we're going to teach you what that means, why they have to do this, and if they don't respond, if they don't reasonably respond, what is your recourse and what can you do? Because what we have to do is we have to flex our constitutional muscles. We have to start using this Constitution as a weapon. Okay? All right. So, ideally, what we're going to do, see, if I had the money I needed, we would have a full radio show. We'd maybe buy something like Red State Talk Radio, and we would actually be bringing, we would have probably two times during the day where you would have state updates, and maybe three times. For each organization, we would have 50, you know, so once a month or twice a month Well, probably once a month, because you've got 30 days in the month, so there's no reason why. Most states would probably get at least once a month. Some states would get twice a month. If we take two, three, or four time slots and we start using these hour updates on, you know, from the state coordinator, the state coordinator will basically come on the air and tell you, you know, how to get a hold of them, who are the people in the different counties, and pointing you to the, you know, the website, but also telling you what they're doing, why they're doing these things, because bottom line, 9 times out of 10, most people don't have time to actually go and do the reading research. A lot of people have time because they, you know, commute in their cars or what have you, and they use these shows to be able to, you know, read and hear the ratification debates, read and hear these fundamental documents like Madison's paragraph on property, or not paragraph, essay. And as a matter of fact, I kind of pointed to people that they really need to read that. So, and we're going to read it on this show, but that's why you listen to the show. I mean, I am not your entertainer. I am the guy that is feeding you the information, that you, the academic information you need to know to prove your case that what the government is doing, they have no business doing it. And plus helping people come to that, I'll call it a paradigm of the framers, to understanding, you know, what liberty is, why it's so important, and why we have to do everything we can to defend it. Because if we do not, we will rue the day. I'm telling you, go do the history. Go look at, after every Bolshevik revolution, there are millions of people that die. I mean, America, oh, well, they won't kill a million. Look at what Pol Pot did in what is it, Cambodia? When he took over, he killed that. Go read The Killing Fields. It's a document, I should say, it's a documentary view of what Pol Pot did. The first people he killed, the first million people he killed, were the educated and the leaders, because he knew they posed the greatest threat. Wanted to get rid of anybody that everybody looked up to. If people looked up to this person, they were killed. And it was a huge mass grave. Now, the interesting thing is the global communists don't want despots like that. What they want is they want to slowly feed you and get you into the pot, so that over time they slowly purge. And it's not like, you know, they're going to dig this hole, line everybody up, and just keep shooting them and drop them into the hole and then filling up the hole and digging another one. What you were told about Kosovo, as a matter of fact, if you ever go to FAS.org, you might find the history on this, but FAS.org was reporting contrary to the Bill Clinton administration, where, you know, and the news media that was telling you that there were all of these mass grave sites, because they were proving that there weren't. There was only maybe one or two, and they weren't necessarily a mass grave site. They were just, you know, an area where the, a lot of the people that were killed, it wasn't anything like Cambodia. I'm just trying to get through this point that in a communist takeover, that's typically what they do. And there will be, there's no doubt in my mind, there will be a lot of killing. You've already heard of FEMA camps. You've already heard that they have areas that aren't being utilized for just holding of mass people. Why is it that they're not grabbing all of these anarchists and throwing them into these types of camps? Because they pose the biggest threat. As I was driving back yesterday, I was listening, because I was just listening to some music on Sirius, and there's this revolutionary Tom Molino or whatever. I guess he's from Rage Against the Machine, you know, a real angry kind of guy that, you know, stick it to the establishment. I think that he and so many of these social justice musicians, these communists that are, you know, controlling the tone and message in our popular music. This goes all the way back to even John Lennon and, you know, the Beatles in a revolution. These songs are deeply hypocritical. You know, John Lennon wanted a communist revolution. He was definitely communist, but how much money did he give to all the other musicians out there that didn't have, you know, the money and the resources that he had to do those things? I mean, where is his communist belief when it comes down to sharing and redistributing wealth? Come on. I mean, so these guys are hypocrites. And, oh, by the way, you have to remember that politicians, actors, and performers are paid liars. You can tell when you have a paid politician that's lying to you, because they're not talking about the issues. They're just creating excuses of why they need to do something. We're going to show you what truth is by you looking at these very specific politicians, and we're hoping over the next 6 months to a year, bringing on board other politicians, other state legislatures, because that's where my focus is. I know that there's probably hundreds of thousands of public servants throughout America. There's a little over seven. It's less than 8,000. I think it's 73 or maybe 75. Anyway, less than 8,000 state legislators. And so just kept trying to get a good percentage of them onto the radio to actually have these conversations, like I did with Representative Randolph. You need to start hearing how these people truly, they're speaking the truth and they're doing everything they can to save your liberties. Problem is, a lot of them don't know and they don't understand how the magnitude of the problem and how some of the things that they do really don't solve the problem. It's kind of like trying to fight, you know, some of these laws. I know with Representative Randolph, he was really concerned about legalized marijuana going into South Dakota. And I told him, I said, you guys have a constitution, and if your constitution delegates to you the authority of protecting the health of the people, that you have a health responsibility in protecting the people, then, you know, even though the voters may have come up with an initiative to say, you know, we need to do this, you have a constitutional responsibility to protect the health and to make sure that, you know, the marijuana products are not products that can harmfully or hurt people. And so this is one way you can actually go after medical marijuana, or not medical marijuana, I'm sorry, recreational marijuana. Because if it's recreational, it's not protecting your health. And I told him, I said, you shouldn't stop there. You should also start, you know, looking at alcohol. You know, if you understand you need to have a program, and I'm sorry for going down this path, but if you understand you need to have a program for, let's just say, alcohol, because alcohol is a problem. There's way too many people that are abusing, and as a matter of fact, there's people that are dying from it, and the health adversities and health problems that alcohol causes. Well, I remember when they came out and said, you know what, we need to create a tax. We're going to tax on alcohol. And, you know, but what did they use that tax for alcohol at the state level? Well, it goes into the general fund. If you want to get rid of alcohol, take that tax that comes into alcohol and create a program so that you can start educating people on why. And you actually have to start creating laws to help support this education, like why you should not be drinking alcohol. And so if you do drink alcohol and you have a liver problem, you're not going to get any health benefits. The state should block any benefits that are self-imposed. It's almost like if you're trying to hurt yourself, then the state, you know, shouldn't allow you to do that. But do they outlaw alcohol because they know it hurts you? It actually causes harm. Should they outlaw it? No, but what they can do is they can start educating you and saying and creating laws to say, if you self-hurt, if you actually cause harm upon yourself, then we will not cover the consequences of that. Now, suicide is something completely different. You can't let people do, because you don't want to legalize the harming of somebody to legalize suicide. But the fact is that if we're going to tax something, then we need to use that tax, especially a sin tax. You need to use that tax to help eradicate the sin, not to help pay for and fund your social engineering. There's nothing in the constitution of any state that allows them to do social engineering amongst the population. It's not there, but they're doing it. And so anyway, let me get back. When we come back, we'll talk more about Red Pill Expo. And as a matter of fact, what I want to do is I want to talk about the meeting we had so that you understand what was being said and what we're doing and how it was received, more importantly. So we'll be right back after these next two promos. Thank you so much.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so on Saturday we sold it. We did a lot of conversations, sold a few books. And as a matter of fact, I tell people, you don't have to buy this book. As a matter of fact, everybody that was there that ended up buying the books, I said, you don't have to buy this. And as a matter of fact, what was kind of funny is a guy came up and he was looking and we kind of talked. And I could tell he really didn't understand the Constitution too much. I mean, he did, but there were just lots of things. I mean, he's just a typical patriot. And so I wasn't trying to insult him, but I had some pamphlets there and I had my books and the card. I said, here, take my card and take these two pamphlets, but don't buy my books. I'm not going to sell you my books. He goes, why not? And I said, well, I don't think you're ready for them yet, but there's a lot of information and content for free you can get on my website that will get you where you need to be. You don't have to buy my books. And so at this point, you may buy these books and you may kind of start reading them and go, oh, and end up putting them down. And so I don't want that to happen. I'd rather you just get really informed really quick because we have some really good videos. And he goes, you're telling me I can't buy your books? And I go, I'm not going to sell you my books. And he goes, but how much are they? And I told him. And he ended up buying my books just because I told him he couldn't buy them. And I go, I'm not trying to do reverse psychology here. I'm just trying to get you on a fast track to educating because this is a 500-page book. My blue book, that's over 500 pages. And it's a small font. Look at the font. There's no white space. This is a dense book. It's a textbook. And he goes, I'm going to buy it anyway. Anyway, he says, is there a problem with the book? I go, it's written at a college level. I stand behind the book. The book is not definitive on what we need to do. The definitive process is clearly out on, the website for free. We've distilled it down to just 4 or 5 pages for the argument and 4 or 5 pages for the process. I mean, that's all you need. Anyway, he'd insisted on buying the books. And I go, okay, all right. Thank you. I appreciate it. And as he was walking away, I go, you want me to sign those? And he goes, yeah. And I go, you want me to personalize them? And he goes, well, yeah, sure. So I signed them and wrote a little note to him. And he goes, thanks. Anyway, I sign every book. And as a matter of fact, I've written everybody's names down because I have a log. And all of the people that I sold books to is down in my log. And I know where they're from. That way, when if I ever see a book come back to me or if somebody reaches out, you know, and they say, hey, I've been reading your book. I go, yeah. And I do that because it's at least the physical books. If somebody has an ebook, because we do have the ebooks out there. If somebody has an ebook, I can't trace those. But the physical books I do trace. That's especially when somebody starts scanning them or you're scanning and highlighting that type of thing. I can go, hey, you need to ask my permission. That's actually copyrighted material, that type of stuff. One of the things that I want to get into is the meeting. So we had this meeting, and obviously it was, you know, a short, condensed meeting, but we had a conference room, and it was a kind of a medium-sized conference room. We have small little, you know, 8 or less. This was more of like a 12 to 20, and we actually filled up, I mean, most of the chairs. I didn't count how many people were there, but I'm going to say we had well over 12 people there, and surprisingly, we didn't have anybody from Wyoming. And so I go, okay, if the entire Wyoming crowd showed up, then we would not have had room because we've probably got somewhere between 10 to 20 good, solid legislators that are supporting Republic Review and forcing compliance of the Constitution to the federal government. And so anyway, so we started, started the meeting off with I started with a prayer. And then I went into kind of a little history and I said, you know, I've been sending everybody emails. And so I'm going to kind of encapsulate or try to do a high level review of the emails that I sent you. And that took us down to a little quick tangent. Well, I haven't gotten any of your emails. And I go, well, you're from South Dakota. I know you got 12 emails from me. And they go, I haven't gotten one. And I go, okay, we'll worry about that later. Because I figured I'd need to do a recap anyway, so let me do this. And it kind of became not a point of contention, but very interesting of why they weren't getting my emails. So anyway, and maybe they have filters at the state level or what have you. I don't know. But what I do know is that as I, you know, kind of went down this path, I gave them the history of the Declaration of Independence, the AOC, and the Constitution, and why getting to the Constitution was critical if we were going to survive as a nation, and kind of the history of the problems with the Articles of the Federation. More importantly, the fact that the Declaration of Independence was divinely inspired. Thomas Jefferson was one person who had, I believe, that relationship. Here's the problem. He never came out and said that the divine hand of providence inspired this. His relationship with the Lord was of such that he didn't talk about it. And people saw what he did with the translation of Christ's words and everything else. And people accused him of writing his own Bible. If you've ever heard that, that's incorrect. All he did was he wanted to have a pure, or at least what he knew the translation should be, from Greek or Latin or whatever the notes that they had of the original text of the Bible. Good luck going and getting that yourself today. But apparently he had access to the original text. And so what he did was he went through the New Testament and only wrote down what Christ said and did. That's it. As the New Testament reported, Christ went to do this. That's what he wrote down. And so it was a snapshot of everything Christ did. I mean, it was a kind of like a focus, not all of these different letters to different groups, epistles, and so forth. It was a condensed. It's just like the Gideon Bible. If you've ever picked up a Gideon Bible where the anything that Christ said is in red, that's what he did. He wanted to understand exactly what Christ did say, what Christ did do, instead of, you know, reading all of the other things. He wanted to really focus. And I have known people that have actually done that. And I go, you know, why didn't you read what Jefferson wrote? Why didn't you read his transcripts of Christ? Oh, I didn't know he did that. I thought he just wrote a Bible. No. Anyway, so we talked about the divine inspiration for the Declaration of Independence, that the Articles of Confederation were really problematic, and the real problem of the Articles of Confederation was the states. And so why they had to change and why they had the inherent authority to do what they needed to do, and why the states ratified the Constitution instead of following this concept that they exceeded their bounds. Because bottom line, every state that debated whether these delegates exceeded their commission or not, they all agreed that they didn't. They all agreed that they had, they felt either the necessity and they had the right to do what they did, and that they needed to look at this, especially with the fact that, the most brilliant minds in all of the colonies went there to hash this out. So anyway, contrary to everybody else's belief today that the Constitution was a runaway convention, it was not. And I wanted to impress that with this group because they hear this from other people. And the reason why it's important that we clarify and we stop saying that the Constitution was a runaway convention is because all we're doing is we're giving the progressive, the left, the fuel. Hey, this Constitution's illegitimate. We shouldn't have anything to do with it. Absolutely not. It's 100% legitimate. And if so, then they did fulfill their obligations as delegates to go and do what the state sent them to do. So anyway, we kind of covered all of that. And then we covered the importance of the 1798 resolutions. We covered what the 1798 resolutions were and what the focus was. It wasn't nullification. It was interposition that the states needed. And as a matter of fact, I started citing what Madison said, that the states are not only obligated, but they're duty bound to protect their states and citizens from federal tyranny, and that they must arrest the evil, that they both, Madison and Jefferson, were calling on the states to unite in fightings. And I gave them these pamphlets that we've created. And what we're going to do is we're going to put up, if you want these pamphlets, we're going to scan them so you'll have a PDF of them. And if you would like to print these and hand these out, now they may go through a little bit of editing, but as far as I'm concerned, they're good enough to give people the necessary information that they need to know in understanding the difference between nullification and interposition, and why what we have to do is interposition and not single state nullification, which is what is going on. And that's only because there is an incorrect narrative that there's a lot of groups, not just the John Birch Society, but there's a lot of groups that are they're calling for single state nullification. And that is an abomination. Using nullification against constitutional violations is actually an abomination of the process. It's a perversion. What we have to do is we have to unite as the parties of the compact and exercise those powers that we have over the Constitution, getting the federal government into compliance, because the federal government is our subcontractor. They're the child in this parent-child relationship. Anyway, we'll get back into more of this, but really quick, I will tell you, we had South Dakota, North Dakota, we had Montana, and there was another state there, I believe. But anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And we'll wrap this stuff up and get into marketing next. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcasts and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.